Hi friends, new and regular listener. My name is Henrik and you are listening to Red Ice Radio. We are coming to you from Sweden, but you can hear us around the globe at our website redicecreations.com. Thank you for tuning in. Today we have Lynn Marsouli with us and he's got a new book out called The Alien Interviews. And this is, of course, as the title is implying, interviews with people on UFO sightings, cattle mutilations, alien implants, abductions, and more. We haven't talked about these subjects for some time on Red Ice Radio, so it's going to be really interesting to dive back into some of these topics and talk more about some of these stories and witness accounts. The website that you can take a look at right away is lamarsouli.net, and we will have this linked up, of course, on redicecreations.com, so you can find easily the links to Lynn's website. But with that, let's say hi to our guest. Hi, Lynn. Welcome back to the program. Very nice to have you with us again.
I really appreciate you having me back on, Henrich, and it's a pleasure to be here on Red Ice Creations, Red Ice Radio. Fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And, you know, for those who've been with us for a while might recall that we had you back with us, rather, in October in 2007. And we then, at that point, were talking about primarily about the Nephilim and biblical prophecy, the supernatural. So this isn't really a subject that is far off, so to speak, from the area that you were interested in, Lynn. But tell us a little bit what kind of sparked your interest in regards to writing this new book of yours.
Well, the Alien Interviews, which is available on my website, lamarsouli.net. I've changed the website, by the way. So yeah. It's lamarsouli.net, is really the offspring of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which is the book that preceded this particular book. And the reason why I wrote The Alien Interviews, I realized that I do like a monthly news magazine, and some of these people had come on in an interview for that news magazine, and that news magazine is in a written format. So, in other words, I'll ask people questions, but it's not like we're doing now, where it's, you know, lots of talk and lots of audio. It's all written format. So people that I'm interviewing really can stop and think what they want to say and, you know, put it down in written format. So I realized I had quite a few of these interviews in the last year that I had done. And what really motivated me was I was on one particular radio show where the host really set me up. In other words, no matter what I brought to the table, no matter how much evidence I would throw at him, how many stories, how many testimonies, how many witnesses, photographs, whatever, nothing was ever good enough. And he went on basically a 20-minute, 25-minute tirade, and I was on hold. And in that period of time, he just told the audience that there were no such thing as UFOs, that all this was just, you know, a bunch of nonsense by people with fourth grade educations. Now, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but
right.
Basically, it was really insulting. He gave me about 2 minutes to respond, and I vowed I'd never be on the guy's show again. It's your
exactly.
show, you know, you can do whatever you want on it, but you know, you'll never see me there again. And I think other people that are into this research have also stayed clear of this guy. All that to say, in the Alien Interviews, these are people that have actually experienced firsthand what is going on. In other words, firsthand the UFO phenomena. Up close and personal, close encounters of the third and fourth kind. So it's not just seeing lights in the sky. It's well beyond that. Really very up close, very personal. And I've got a wide variety of belief systems, of worldviews. Everyone is welcome. All is welcome. No one is ostracized. And, you know, from this, the viewer, the reader can ascertain what he wants to believe, what he or she wants to believe.
Mm.
What's interesting is I've got Dr. Jacobs, Dr. Roger Lear, Dr. Jesse Marcel, Dr. Lynn Katai, retired Major George Filer, and Dr. Wanger. So I've got basically five PhDs that come on the record here. Now, these are people that certainly have more than a fourth grade education. Thank you very much.
Yes.
They speak with great erudition. They know their subject, and they have every one of these guys has seen this phenomena and dealt with the phenomena up close and personal. The interviews are absolutely riveting. It's an ebook, so you download it. It's $6. You get the link. Here's the PDF. You can read it on your computer. And the whole point of that is that each of these people that I've interviewed have lots of links to different websites, different videos that they've done, different stories, related stories. So it's very interactive to the user. The user is not just sitting or reading a book. He can go and explore different websites, different videos, different articles, and, you know, gather his own information in addition to what's provided in the book. So in that case, it's sort of cutting edge. And we've had good success for it, selling a lot of these things and getting a lot of good feedback. One of them is, you know, Lynn, this is your best book ever. It's a home run. So, but, you know, basically I wrote it as a rebuttal to the skeptic, or as a primer to the skeptic. And for someone who's, you know, involved in ufology for, let's say, several decades, as a general reminder of how complex this may be. And then, of course, at the end of the book, I weigh in with a little 30-page sort of interview with myself. It's more of a dissertation, basically stating, you know, what does it all mean? And I offer some hypothesis as to what we're looking at. And, you know, it's my book, so I kind of get the last word, and I'm certainly taking that. But that's what motivated me to write the book.
Excellent. And so you have a lot of researchers in there, and I guess you have also accounts, as you say, from people who've experienced this for themselves. If we go into or on that route a little bit, and let's talk, I guess, evidence then, what would you say is some of the most compelling evidence if you had to pick and choose, and with that try to, I guess, you know, convince a skeptic to these kinds of subjects? What would that be?
And this is exactly the way the book is laid out. I mean, by the time any reasonable thinking person, literally anyone, any reasonable thinking person, and I've dealt with skeptics, no matter, and this is what the problem is, no matter how much evidence you throw at them, they always find a way of, well, that's not good enough. He's this. He's out of his field. Secondhand. I mean, they excuse everything away. And if they can't do that, they'll resort to ad hominem attacks, beginning to, well, you know, Marzulli, he's just this, he's, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so they will start attacking me rather than the work. And that's what we see. But here's the deal. When we begin to go through this and examine some of these people, and by the time we get to the 17th witness, and I keep bringing the reader back to this idea, that we may disagree as to what the cause is of the phenomena. But we certainly can agree that the phenomena is real, it's burgeoning, and it's not going away. For instance, I cite that, excuse me, in the 50s, single digits per year, sightings of UFOs, sometimes double digits, but no more. Very, very sparse. And then we see this to the point, we see this kind of increase in sightings to the point where today, you know, 2009, we're seeing between 300 and 600 sightings per month. So the phenomena is burgeoning. It's not going away. And if this was something that happened, let's say, several decades ago, and, you know, there's been no other sightings, no other dramatic sightings, and all these other aspects of the phenomena, cattle mutilations, crop circles, alien abductions, implants, if those things weren't also being reported in growing numbers, I wouldn't be writing about this stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. It is happening. The phenomena is real. It's burgeoning. It's not going away. And so as we go through the list of people that come on the records, for instance, Dr. Jacobs, who's been involved in the abduction phenomena for well over 3 decades, and, you know, he comes on with great erudition. He knows his subject. This is not some guy with a fourth grade education. He's a tenured history professor at Temple University, very prestigious university in the United States of America. Mm. He knows of what he speaks. And we disagree perhaps as to what the cause of this, but we both agree that we believe that the breeding program that these so-called extraterrestrials are engaged in is very malevolent, very nefarious, evil. It doesn't have the best intentions for humankind at their endgame. It's Dr. Jacobs and I both agree on this, that the phenomena is a malevolent one, a nefarious one. And so, you know, when we talk about, when I interviewed Dr. Jacobs, it's just fascinating because one of the questions was, I said, you know, what it was like when you finally got to the point when you realized that this was real, that this wasn't people just making this thing up. A little backstory, thumbnail sketch for your listeners, that the abduction phenomena, the whole idea that is someone is taken against their will. This can happen in the daytime. It can happen at night. Most often it is done during when a person is asleep, he finds himself awakened in the bed. There's 4 to 6 little gray guys with the big slanted eyes. He or she is terrified. They're floated through walls and windows, which speaks of a physics that we know nothing about. They find themselves on a ship. They don't have any clothes on all of a sudden. They're stripped down. Gynecological examinations are performed. If it's a male, if it's a female, if it's a male, other sometimes rectal examinations, sperm is taken, all sorts of just bizarre things are going on. Implants are given, needles through the nose, through the eyes. It's just absolutely horrific. And the people that this is done to, of course, are absolutely terrified. Literally terrified.
Yeah.
And this is why it's evil. You know, people come on and they go, well, you know, the aliens are here to help. And I'm going, excuse me, kidnapping is a crime in every country on this planet. Okay. Sexual, basically rape, which is what it is, whether it's male or female, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
People are being, manipulated in a sexual way. I mean, these things are just, are really crimes which are punishable in every country on the planet. And this is what's going on. And so when Jacobs gets into this and he answers the question, which once again, I'll bring the listener back to here.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like, Dr. Jacobs, when you realized that the phenomenon was real? And Jacobs replies, I quote, I went into a sort of shock tailspin. I said to myself, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, repeatedly for about 6 months. Then I began to get over the shock and eventually it became routine for me, if that's imaginable. In other words, when he finally realized that these weren't just people that were maybe mentally imbalanced or schizophrenic or having breaks with reality or having recurring nightmares or sleep paralysis, he realized that there's no way there could be collusion between all these different people. And yet what he was seeing was the same story told over and over and over again.
Hmm.
Now, see, if you're a skeptic, you look at that and you go, well, and you immediately, you know, go, well, the sleep, you find the one person that you can throw up that will call it sleep paralysis. And I actually asked Jacobs about that. And Jacobs basically says, here's the problem with the skeptics. They refuse to look at the data. Seriously, they will not look at the data. They will not examine the data. And the data is scientific. Jacobs is viewing the abduction phenomena from a scientific viewpoint.
Mm.
He's not some, you know, UFO guy that got into this. It's not the paradigm and the worldview he embraces. He's a scientist. And he looks at this thing in a very scientific way. What am I looking at? You know, why is this happening? And if it's happening, what's the causation behind it? And so skeptics, you know, look at his work and just immediately dismiss him. Well, yeah, well, it's such an injustice, which really irritates me, because it's sort of like in the days of Columbus, when Columbus goes, the world is round, and all the skeptics and all the thinking people of the day, many of them, well, everyone knows the world is fat, Chris. You know, you must be out of your mind. And of course, now it becomes obvious that the world, in fact, is not flat. There are not, you know, you don't fall off the edge of the earth, but the earth is round. Same thing with Galileo and Copernicus, when they put forth the theory that the earth circled around the sun, not the sun around the earth. You're mad. You're crazy. Mm. Everyone knows this part. We can just look at the horizon and see the earth is still and the sun is moving.
Mm.
Why our eyes are telling us this. Today we know that's completely absurd. But you see, this is the problem, that most of the phenomena have been so obfuscated by the media and covered up, and anyone who comes forward is immediately ridiculed, ostracized from their group. People have lost their jobs. Pilots know that it's, and I'm kind of skipping around a little bit, but
sure,
airplane pilots know that if they talk about UFOs, they can lose their job instantly. So it's kind of an unwritten rule in the pilots that I've talked to. You just don't talk about this stuff. You just let it go.
Hmm.
Don't say doodly squat about it, because you could lose your tenure, you could lose your job. So for Jacobs to really come on the record, as many of these other people that come on the record, you know, they're, in some ways, they're putting their careers online. For instance, Dr. Lynn Katai, Phoenix Lights, this is a woman who's entrenched in the medical profession, highly respected, initiated several different programs, speaks all over the country, has written journals and books, and I mean, well-publicized, well-published author. She filmed these things in Phoenix in 1997, right on her balcony. I mean, she's out there filming this stuff, taking 35 millimeter still shots at the same time. And for, you know, she gave the, She wanted to remain anonymous, didn't know what to do with the stuff. She had a 600-page journal after a number of years. Finally, she realized she was doing the world a disservice by holding back the information. So she spent her own money, got some maybe some people to back her a little bit, whatever, and did this wonderful DVD, which I would highly recommend, The Phoenix Lights by Dr. Lynn Katai. Mm-hmm. Again, medical doctor, you know, highly regarded in, by her constituents and well-published woman, very, you know, speaks when she comes on the Elliot interview, speaks with great detail, great erudition on her part, just an amazing woman. And yet she was afraid of coming forward because of the ridicule, because of being ostracized, because of all the stigma that goes with saying, I saw something which I don't know what it is. And so the book, once again, bringing you back, bringing your listeners back, we may disagree as to what this is, but we certainly can agree, and we need to agree, that the phenomenon is real, as burgeoning, is not going away. We need to get our heads out of the sand. And what's interesting on that, you know, Hedrick, when you think about this, Britain, the UK, just in 2008, latter part in the fall, I believe, of 2008, began to reveal some of its classified documentation that discussed with great detail, great clarity, that, in fact, this UFO phenomena was real. And at the same time, they bought one of the pilots, who's now in like late 60s or whatever, but he was the guy that was behind this, you know, the controls in the airplane that was flying a sortie against this craft, which in his words was as large or larger than an aircraft carrier. Mm-hmm. This thing is huge. I mean, that's a mothership, an aircraft carrier. Mm-hmm. When he began to close in and fire the rockets, this particular craft moved away from him at speeds of excess of 10,000 miles an hour. We've got the UK, we've got Belgium, we've got France, and we've got Mexico that have come out and said, the phenomenon is real. Now I've heard Japan is beginning to shake loose. And frankly, in the United States, we see a little bit of what I've termed, I've borrowed Gorbachev's phrases of glasnost and perestroika, but in some way we're starting to see an openness where the at least the phenomena is talked about instead of, you know, that tongue-in-cheek little green men and, you know, all this nonsense that we hear in the media with ridicule and people being ostracized. The phenomena is actually getting prime time. Larry King, when Edgar Mitchell came on, Hannity of Hannity and Combs, now the Sean Hannity Show, actually had Mitchell on, did a one-on-one sit-down interview with him talking about the phenomena. Just fascinating.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek in the beginning, you know, let's joke, but, you know, Mitchell came on very candidly and said, look, the Roswell crash happened. The government hid this thing for years and continues to do so, and too many witnesses saw this thing. So it's a fascinating book, The Alien Interviews, and it really, you know, when we look at guys like Dr. Jacobs who come on the record, it's just fascinating, you know, and it's hands-on. I mean, I'm asking him tough questions. It's not softball interviews. And, you know, he hits back with some very hardcore answers as to what's going on. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting indeed. And, you know, there have been quite a few interesting sightings. And this is, you know, slowly, again, trickling down through the news here and there. Recently in the UK, we had this, you know, wind turbine accident, whatever that might actually have been.
That's right.
We had some kind of speculation around surrounding the Obama inauguration, a UFO sighting there.
And I'm aware of that, and I wish someone would finally come forward and at least analyze the film and tell us what it is. I mean, that to me is off the hook, absolutely off the hook. Mm-hmm. Whether if it's real,
right?
Who knows?
Right, exactly. No, it's very difficult. But yet again, let's define UFO. I mean, unidentified flying object. It can be,
correct,
you know, anything until we've identified it. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So that doesn't mean automatically that this is, again, as you said, to put the ridicule spin on it, that this isn't about, you know, little green man piloting these things. This is just about the actual sightings of something that we don't know. But then the next level up to this is what people like David Jacobs, that you mentioned, author of The Threat, I think, a very kind of dark aspect to this, as you mentioned, of course, as well. But he has this, he has done more of the hands-on work with the type of people that have had third level encounters, so to speak, with these beings. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you know, close encounters of the third kind, when you're actually been abducted, and that's what Jacobs deals with. Now, he himself has never been abducted, but he has interviewed literally hundreds of people who have. Some of them recall their abductions without the aid of hypnosis. Others need to be put in a state of hypnosis, and then, you know, whatever, it seems like these entities put a block there for whatever reason. So people know that something's happened, but they're not sure what, and they're very uneasy, sometimes for years. They want to, they're always like, what's, you know, what's going on here?
Do you think
people who
sorry to cut you off, Liam, but do you think that that is something that has been done by the beings, by the visitors?
Yeah, you think?
Absolutely,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a they set up some sort of a mental screening. People who have looked at the book cover of the alien interviews, I've gotten this from several people, absolutely freak out when they look at the cover. And frankly, when I first looked at the cover, which is was done by an artist by the name of Doug Chaffee, who was inspired by my Nephilim series, and he didn't know what I was working on, and emailed me this photograph or this picture that he had drawn, and I was just blown away. I said, "You've captured the malevolence of these creatures verbatim, I mean, perfectly." Mm. And so he agreed and allowed me to use it on the cover of the new book, The Alien Interviews. And people who have seen this, I'm not making this stuff up either. People who have seen it, the cover, have actually recoiled and from it in fear, because it brings up something in them which they're not even sure what it is. I've had lots of email. When I looked at the cover of your book, I was afraid and ran into the next room. I began to think, I'm kind of paraphrasing like a combination of some of the letters that I received. Mm-hmm. And I began to wonder, why am I reacting this way? And it began to bring back memories of, you know, when I was a child and I thought I saw creatures like this who took me to places, you know, it hasn't happened in a while. And from that, I'm able to, you know, usually open up a dialogue with some of these people and talk about their experiences. So, you know, once again, it brings us back to that first sentence, or which I keep, you know, telling people, that we may differ as to what the phenomena is, what's behind it, but we certainly can agree that it's real and that the phenomena is burgeoning. It's not going away. Mm. There is an end game. There's something that's going on. In my last book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, The Coming Great Deception of a Luciferian Endgame. And we know from that other interview that we did, Henrik, that this is what I believe is the coming great deception, that mm-hmm. this, you know, so-called alien agenda. In fact, if I can, just for a second, this is dated January 29th, so it's only a few days old, and this is from the Raelians, who they've got a base in Jerusalem. This could have come right out of my alien or Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural book. And basically, let me just read this to you, because this is the alien gospel in a nutshell. And it basically says that Rael was given the task of spreading this message to all mankind. What was the message? According to the group's website, it was as follows. And this is what the Raelians were told by these small four-foot aliens with so-called aliens with these large black almond eyes. Mm. We were the ones who designed all life on Earth. You mistook us for gods. We were at the origin of your main religions. Now that you are mature enough to understand this, we would like to enter official contact through an embassy. I mean, this is exactly what I talk about as being the coming great deception of a Luciferian endgame. And Jacobs believes that, you know, look, if these guys were benevolent, why abduct us in the middle of the night? Why perform experiments on us with the women, gynecological experiments, with the men, you know, harvesting sperm or forcing some sort of intercourse with, alien hybrids, which people have talked about, painful rectal probes. I mean, what's going on here, folks? This isn't benevolent space aliens. And certainly, if you can come all this way, why would you allow this climate of fear to be promulgated during the abduction phenomenon? Wouldn't you just knock the person out completely so they don't remember anything? No, it's all done very deliberately. Mm. The currency of these people, these entities, is fear. They travel in it, they move in it, they operate in it, they instigate fear. Fear, 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 fear. Talk to any abductee that hasn't, you know, checked their brain at the door and come, like, I won't mention the guy's name, but where, you know, they start off reeling from these entities, and after a period of time, they've just grown to accept them as their benevolent overlords who have morals and ethics which are somehow so far beyond our own. Hmm. So they basically check their brain at the door, in my opinion, and go along with this ridiculous program. It is malevolent to the nines. It is nefarious. It is evil. It is wrong. And it, in my opinion, is part of the great deception. And it is coming. I mean, this is dated January 29th, and the Raels, the Raelians, you know, got 70,000 people worldwide. But they are, you know, in some ways, they're like the vanguard of this coming great deception. They're telling people, exactly what I wrote in my book. I mean, verbatim. you could take exactly what I wrote and hold them word for word. It's like who's copying who type of a thing. And you know, I didn't know what they believed when I wrote Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, but I took all the evidence that was there in front of me, and I said, this is what they're going to say. And you know what, a year later, a year and a half later, they come up with exactly verbatim what I talk about in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. Mm. So I find that incredibly sobering.
I definitely see that there is a kind of popular, they're trying to popularize the alien phenomena as well in the media, in some circles at least. It seems to also play into a little bit of this kind of new agey agenda that you mentioned here, with the Raelians being kind of a little bit of the poster boys for this, actually. do you see that or rather, how do you think that this will play out, let's say, if we talk about it in the context of the new age or whatever, that this will be a kind of a new type of religion, almost a mishmash of spirituality and playing into the alien phenomena? What do you see this, where do you see this is going, Lynn?
Well, I do. I mean, and remember, what we're dealing with are interdimensional entities, and this is, I'm skipping at the end of the book. This is when I write, I talk about what does it all mean. It's about 30 to 40 pages, and I really tie the thing together with, believe it or not, the Shroud of Turin, and then I go back into some ancient manuscripts and discuss when these entities, good or bad, appear, what is it like when human beings encounter them? And we see that you can draw a real correlation between when these entities appear in these ancient manuscripts, specifically the Bible, and I can get into that if you want, and some of what happens in the abduction phenomena. What people need to realize is these entities are, if they are interdimensional, of course I believe that they are, they have certain properties which are just inherent in them, or imbued, they're installed. It comes with these beings. They're created in this way, okay? Mm. And they have powers that to us appear miraculous. To us appear paranormal or supernatural. Mm-hmm. To them, to these entities, it's just how they were created. It's how they're made. They're just imbued with them. They're just operating in what's a normal fashion for them. To us, it seems absolutely supernatural. So when these guys begin to manifest on this planet, they will do, and remember, and I'm gonna tip my hand here a little bit, but when we go into one letter, which is written about 2,000 years ago, and it says that Satan, when he returns, will come with all signs and lying wonders. When he actually begins to manifest on the planet, returns the wrong word. When he begins to manifest on the planet, he will come with all signs and lying wonders. Now, unfortunately, most people believe that this being, Satan, doesn't really exist. Or they reduce it to some guy in a red devil suit with horns and a pitchfork. I mean, nothing could be farther from the truth. We are looking at a super genius who's demented, perhaps. Well, definitely demented, but is a super genius on some level. Mm. A very powerful principality, very, very powerful. If we stood in the presence of this thing, we would fall down as if dead, literally. You just can't stand in front of these guys. And we see that over and over and over when we go back and examine ancient texts. When angels appear, okay, to men, they are often, boom, immediately on their face as if dead. And the good guys go over and touch them and bring them back and say, peace be to you. It's okay. You know, hey, stand up, rise up on your feet. The bad guys don't do that. See, the bad guys let you fall, let you stay there in stupefaction and create that climate of fear. And that's what we see when I talk about in the alien interviews. When I discuss the Mothman prophecies, which is sort of off topic, it may seem off topic, but when we get into what happened with the Mothman, and when this entity appeared to the person I interviewed, which is Lawrence Gray, the same type of thing. This entity appeared in his room at 2:30 in the morning. He was absolutely petrified. He told me it was like wickedness manifesting in his room. Wickedness mm-hmm. manifesting. He was paralyzed with fear. There he is again. Overwhelmed with fear. The currency of these beings is fear. He couldn't move. He was paralyzed. And he began to say the blood of Jesus over and over again. And as he did that, the entity vanished in front of his face. I mean, literally just began to slowly vanish and move back into that other dimension. And this, of course, is what we see, you know, when we examine these ancient texts, we see exactly this, that what we're dealing with, in my opinion, and my other interviews with you guys that said the same thing. We're dealing with fallen angels that have somehow manifested themselves back on Earth. They're here again, fulfilling prophecy, by the way, and they're up to no good. They're up to a lot of no good, and that's what we see when we begin to examine each individual part of it, whether it's the abduction phenomena, alien implants, catamutilations, the crop circle phenomena, the contactee phenomena, all these different parts of the whole. We realize that it's very nefarious. It's evil, and in my opinion, it is the coming great deception. And of course, the Raelians are on the vanguard. They are the poster boys, as you say, of the UFO movement.
Yes. Do you think that they are using some kind of superior technology, or do they have some kind of spiritual aspect to them that make them kind of or manage so they can kind of gain this level of power, I guess, over us? What do you think, Lynn?
I think it's both. I think that they absolutely have nuts and bolts hardware, craft that flies around. Absolutely. It's not like Project Bluebeam or a holograph. It's not mass hypnosis. In other words, here's something to think about. Why wasn't that? Let's just kind of strip something down and try to expose the truth of what we saw on that CNN footage in the inaugural. Mm-hmm. Now, there are many people, for instance, let me back up. One of the people I interviewed for the book, The Alien Interviews, Lynn Dickey, who was a contactee, would go out in the sky and she would first of all be told telepathically, go out, point your camera up, and you're going to take pictures of our craft. Lynn would go out and wouldn't see anything. There'd be nothing there, okay? And she would begin to take photographs. As she would develop these, they were digital photographs. Lo and behold, there's the craft. Now, this is exactly the phenomena that fits into what we saw in the inaugural. A million people are standing there. No one sees this thing, yet it's caught on camera. Mm. Camera sees it, right? Mm. But the people there don't see it. They're unaware of it. And it's exactly what we have with Lynn Dickey. This is exactly the phenomena that she saw. And that craft that manifested during the inaugural, if it's real, I mean, that speaks volumes. They're becoming bolder. They want to be seen. The Stephensville UFO flaps, we talk about that in the book, in the alien interviews. We interviewed Ricky Searle, who saw this thing up close and personal. The craft was at least a mile wide, perhaps 2 miles wide. He looked in all directions, and he could not see the end of the craft. That's a mothership, folks. That's a mothership. And if you want to see how big a craft is, that's a mile wide. We have nothing, not even remotely that large in our skies, even blimps, side of a football field maybe, but they're not a mile or 2 miles wide. The craft in Phoenix, Arizona, 1997, estimates between one and maybe as large as 2 miles wide that flew over Phoenix silently in the span of, took a long time to fly over Phoenix. The witnesses that come on the record that Dr. Lynn Cattai interviews, the craft flew right over their head, and they saw the same phenomena that Ricky Searle saw almost 10 years later, that there was some sort of the air underneath the craft undulated, was being disturbed, mirage-like. Ricky Searle uses the word mirage-like. That waving of the air. The witness back in 97 in Phoenix, Arizona, uses, the air was moving underneath the craft. It undulated underneath the craft. Two different witnesses separated by hundreds of miles apart. And not only that, they're separated in time of almost 10 years, seeing the same type of craft, large, silent craft directly overhead, and seeing the same type of air disturbance that they record. They're not sure what they're looking at, but they're using their own words. The air is waving. It was mirage-like. It was moving. It was waving. Very great similarity there. So once again, I bring it back. The phenomenon is burgeoning. It's not going away. We need to discuss it, folks. We need to start talking about it. We need to get the government of the United States, certainly, which is the leading power of the world, to come forward and to say that this is not, stuff of backwoods someplace and with people that have had too much to drink or on psychedelics or, have fourth grade education or whatever. These are people that have studied this thing, looked at this thing, and at the tune of 300 to 600 witnesses per month, it's not going away. It's not going away. It's time to quit ridiculing it, quit acting like a bunch of morons, and start looking at the phenomena. Because when this thing hits, I mean, when they finally reveal themselves, and of course I have my own theory on that, when that will be, it will cause great consternation on this planet. Mm. It will also create a complete change in worldview in most people, and that will be done instantaneously.
Is it really? So do you think that this will be an event that happens basically overnight?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that?
When they find, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when they reveal themselves, it's all or nothing.
Hmm.
It'll be like 2-3 mile wild craft, two-three mile wide craft over London, Paris, United States, Washington, maybe L.A.,
mm-hmm.
maybe one in New York, you know, one in Beijing. I mean, they're going to pick and choose, you know, certainly in the EU, so in several places.
When do you think it will happen?
Well, in Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I give some sort of a timetable for that. Not a date setter, but I believe from my research, and look, I could be wrong on this. You know, I'm one guy. I don't have all the answers, and I don't, you know, basically tell people that I have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a scenario,
right.
Okay?
Yes.
And it deals with, you know, my book that precedes the Alien Interviews, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We know that prophecy is there. We know that prophecy, biblical prophecy, is 100% accurate 100% of the time. Let me just give you a quick example before I move on from there. We realize that it said very specifically that, let's say, in the end days, in the last days, that the Jews would be regathered from the four corners of the earth and reestablished in their ancient homeland of Israel, never to be removed again. We see, after the absolute horrors of the Holocaust, we see a mass immigration into Israel from Europe, and frankly, from all different four corners of the earth. And in a day, the nation of Israel is voted by the UN, and it becomes a nation. Instantly, the Arabs attack, and you know, here we go. We have what we have today in between Hamas and Israel,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole other story. But we see that the prophecy of that is being fulfilled. Concurrently with that prophecy, one more prophecy we can look at is that Jerusalem would be trampled over until the times of the Gentiles is finished. Okay, that prophecy was uttered about 2,000 years ago. In AD 70, Titus and the legions came down and destroyed Jerusalem, taking it from Jewish control and Jewish hands, passing it over to the Gentiles. And from that time period, through the Crusades, through the rise of Islam, through the Ottoman Turkish Empire until modern day 1947 or 1948, when Israel becomes a state, a nation, we see that literally Jerusalem was controlled by the Gentiles, the non-Jewish portion. In fact, until the 1967 war, Jerusalem is controlled by the Gentiles, and only in the 67 war is it finally regained by Israel, thus fulfilling that prophecy to the nines. I mean, it's very specific. The specificity in that prophecy is something that you can just look at and read, and if you know your history, you know, a person can ascertain, a reasonable man can go, yeah, that's interesting, 2,000 years, and now we must be living in that time. Israel's a nation, and now Jerusalem has been restored. Okay, let's get back on point.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say that I believe that the next prophetic event, big one, will be the Ezekiel 38-39 war, which speaks of the very nations we see hurling nothing but vitriol and death threats to the nation of Israel. I speak, of course, of Iran and Ahmadinejad, saying things like, Israel is a dry river tree, soon to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. Israel is a cancer, soon to be irradiated, and on it goes from the rhetoric from Ahmadinejad. We also see the first nation mentioned in that prophecy, Magog, Russia, selling the S-300 anti-missile systems to the Iranians and backing the Iranians to the hilt, selling arms to Syria and Libya, docking its ships in the ports. It is literally, the prophecy, in my opinion, is about to be fulfilled. When this war happens, not if, when this war happens in the Middle East, it will set about the greatest climate of fear that this planet collectively has ever known. And let me elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelis will use their neutron bombs against this overwhelming force which is going to come up against them. I mean, overwhelming amount of soldiers and arms are going to come up against Israel. They'll have no choice but to use the neutron bomb. The rest of the world will be watching CNN and the Fox News Channel and Sky News and all this other stuff in absolute horror Remember, it's not 9/11 or the, you know, the UK train bombings or the subway bombings or the you know, Mumbai massacre, the more recent one. This is like a decimation of millions of people. You know, bombs going off, nuclear war.
Mm.
This will set such a ripple of fear through every economic system, every government, every household on this planet, as people wonder, are we literally on the verge of mutual assured destruction? Are we going to blow ourselves up completely off this planet, go into some sort of a nuclear winter? Is this it? Am I going to wake up in the morning and be irradiated? Okay. And from that climate of fear, which is what we've talked about earlier, this will manifest the so-called, and let me just read that little Raelian thing. Now that you are mature enough to understand this, we would like to enter official contact through an embassy. And this is what they're going to do. At this point in time is when they'll manifest. And it will be all at the same time. All these ships over different parts of the world will all see it together, and it'll be the alien gospel.
Hmm.
And people will embrace the lie. Now, I realize that sounds like science fiction. And yet, when we start to connect the dots, when we look at, you know, craft that flew over Phoenix, Arizona 10 years ago, we know they're out there. Mile-wide, two-mile craft. What about the two-mile-wide craft that flew over the English Channel in 2007? What about that one?
Hmm.
Or the mile-and-a-half-wide craft seen in Stevensville? What about the size of the craft during the inaugural, if in fact that was real?
Right.
Or the larger craft that flew over the UK and in Wales in the summer of 2008. Things not going away, folks. And all it's going to take is a few of these things to just sit there. You know, are you familiar with Blossom Goodchild and the October 14th prophecy?
Nope.
Okay. She made waves on the internet by, she's a trans medium. She works with what I call a familiar spirit. So, you know, again, how do we ascertain, Miss Goodchild, whether what you're in contact with is benevolent or malevolent? And as Andy of the Edge AM, who interviewed me, came up with this great analogy, if it's 2:30 in the morning and someone knocks on your door, you just don't let them in. You find out who the heck they are and what the heck they want. And unfortunately, most of these people who have contact with so-called benevolent entities never stop and try to discern with what they're experiencing is, how do you know where you can trust these guys?
Yeah,
well,
that's true. Yeah.
She was set up. And she went on record in innumerable videos that are on YouTube, Blossom Goodchild, saying that she was told on October 14th, a ship of great size would manifest over some country. She said the Southern Hemisphere.
I think I remember this, actually. Okay, yeah, carry on. Yeah.
And this caused a great amount of emails, and people were looking at her site, hits off the charts, and people believe this. We were all looking. I immediately started blogging and saying, this woman is deceived. This is not going to happen. These entities are setting her up. You can go back and look in the blog. It's right there. They lie all the time. This is not going to happen. Sure enough, October 15th come, Blossom Goodchild comes on the record. She is absolutely disillusioned. The poor woman is just beside herself because she realizes she's been duped. And in the October 15th video, she says, I asked him repeatedly, is this going to happen? Are you really going to manifest? And they assured me that they were, that this was it. They were going to reveal themselves to all mankind, that this mothership would, in fact, just sit there for 72 hours and let people look at it and examine it. And this would be the tipping point that we were in human evolution. And she was, you know, she's beside herself because she believed it. And she goes, I no longer am able to put my faith in them anymore. And so, see, she was deceived. She was deception.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming. And another guy, Prophet Yahweh, who I actually interviewed, and I mean, this guy is just off the wall. He basically said the same thing.
Right,
he said,
right.
But these motherships are going to appear and blah, blah, blah. And of course, nothing happens. And then he does this huge elaborate tap dance and points to some ridiculous thing and saying that this was it. I mean, it's just craziness.
Well, do you think that this is happening to, how should I put this? If they cry wolf many times enough, so to speak, people will get tired of this eventually. And so people actually lose eventually their interest in this overall, or I mean, okay, again, these people are getting off the charts hits, as you say, people are visiting their website, so every single time it happens seems to this big wave of people are kind of flushed along with the craze of the moment of this thing. But do you think there's another purpose for these types of people? Why are they being deceived and put into this a little bit of media, you know, exposure that they get? Do you think that's something behind that?
Well, I do. I think it's all part of a deception. I mean, these are malevolent beings, and what they want, they lie and they deceive. I mean, even Jacques Vallée, who has a totally different worldview than I do and operates under a different paradigm than I do. But he, you know, he titled one of his books, Messengers of Deception.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the evidence points to these beings are here to do one thing and one thing only, to deceive. And they do it very well. And it doesn't matter to them whether they, you know, dangle someone like Blossom Goodchild and then just let her go, let her flap in the wind. And that's exactly what they did. But when they finally do reveal themselves, I believe it will cause this great falling away. It will be the genesis of the new world religion, which is coming.
Mm.
Look, we see all over, you know, I mean, what was it last week? Merkel of Germany, Sarkozy of France, and former Prime Minister Tony Blair all courting for a new world order.
Yeah.
New world financial order. I mean, wake up, people. It's coming. And this was prophesied 2,000 years ago. Hand in hand with this one world government is a one world religious system, which immediately begs the question, how do you get 1.2 or 1.4 billion Muslims to somehow change their worldview? Concurrently with that, how do you change 1.8 billion Christians? It's going to take an event that is absolutely over the top, you know?
Mm.
And here's some, and this, see, when we begin to look at all these prophecies, when it says even the elect would be deceived, if that were possible, when it says, when the prophecy tells us that men fainting from fear of what is coming on the earth, that let no man deceive you, that the Antichrist, the son of perdition, will not be revealed until the great apostasy, great falling away happens. All of these things talk about something, an event, which is over the top. When Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders, it's not a puppet show. You know, it's not a puppet show.
Mm.
It's something that is going to deceive the masses and do so in a very unique way where people would just go, and let me just read this again. This is from the Raelians. You mistook us from God. You mistook us for gods. We are the origin of your main religions.
Hmm.
We are the ones who designed all life on earth. And that's exactly what they're going to tell us. That's exactly what they're going to tell us. That is, in fact, the alien gospel. And that's what people will believe. And that will set up the one world religious system. That will cause the great falling away, not only of Christians, but of Muslims. People will just go, how can you possibly, especially, can you imagine if they have holographic film?
Yeah.
Which some contactees, you know, talk about seeing holographic film of the crucifixion or the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, I create a scenario in which, you know, someone is seated and they realize that this war in the Middle East has just happened. They can't believe it. All of a sudden, it's just like, you know, Independence Day. All these huge crafts are all over the capitals of the world. And we're all sitting here just going, oh my gosh, what is going on? And then they begin to show us holographic film of Moses parting the Red Sea. Except what we see is a craft above the Red Sea. And it's actually not Moses, that the craft is actually doing it. That E.T. is responsible. Let me just tie that up, that thought up with one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
This summer, there was a movie, last summer, 2008, Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls. I blogged about it. I wrote an essay about it, which was picked up by innumerable websites. It got a lot of play because I hit a nerve and I said, is this movie propaganda or entertainment? And it's propaganda because basically what it tells us is at the end of the movie, when this huge mothership comes up from underneath the Mayan temple, that it ties back into what the aliens are saying, that you mistook us for gods.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we see in that movie.
Yes.
That E.T. was the founder of the Mayan religion, that they worshipped E.T. as gods. Look, I'm not making this stuff up, folks. When enough people begin to say it, when the contactees say it, when the Raelians are saying it, anybody involved in this is saying the same thing. When we get movies like Spielberg, why is that there? Why does he go out of his way to tie that up, you know, and to make it happen? He could have written a million different stories, but no. In fact, it's even more than that. At the very end of the book or the movie, Indiana Jones goes, as he's watching this huge craft, mothership, begin to leave the Earth's atmosphere, fly off in the distance. He says, where is it going? Outer space? And his mentor goes, no, Indy. not outer space, it's interdimensional.
Yes.
Which ties right back into Jacques Vallée, which ties right back into, you know, my particular worldview, that these entities are in fact interdimensional, not extraterrestrial, and that they are, as Dr. Jacobs so eloquently puts it, malevolent, nefarious.
And they also, I remember they were talking about a very interesting scene in that film, actually, where they were talking about a new type of weapon development. I think actually that the commies, the Russians, or the Soviets, I should say, in that case, are trying to develop this new weapon that mimics what the aliens so-called are doing. And that is all about a form of mind control, of getting inside our heads, the rest of the population, right, their heads, to begin this kind of slow invasion, actually, which is really interesting. And Lynn, before we carry on here, I do want to check with you. I have loads more questions, and I want to check if you'd like to continue talking more with us in our member section. I want to ask you about the end game plan, some of the hypnosis techniques. There's been some little bit of criticism on that, and we get your point on that, and some
sure.
of the black ops and things like that. Do you want to carry on with us?
I'd love to. Let me just take a 2-minute break, and then we'll come back. How's that sound?
That sounds very good. And before we take that little break and listen to some music, why don't you tell us your website again and how people would go about getting a copy of your ebook, the Alien Interviews?
Great. It's lamarzulli.net. L-A-M-A-R-Z as in zebra, U-L-L-I. lamarzulli.net. lamarzulli.net. We've got a special right now. Go into the books section where it says special offers, and you can get everything plus the monthly news magazine. Last month we had Patty Heron that came on the record, riveting interview. And that's $1.50 a month for the news mag. We send you a link, and it's you can download a PDF file once you click the link every month. It comes out the last day of the month, and it's called PPNS News, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural News. And I weigh in on the current political, prophetic, and supernatural occurrences. Lots of links to articles, and of course we interview one or two different people and get their take on things as well. So you can sign up for the news magazine. It's $1.50. You can buy the alien interviews for $6. That's an ebook. You download it, and you've got all my other books there. You can buy too. Look, folks, I know I'm talking about, you know, buying my books. Basically, what it does is it supports me so I can do research basically 24/7, and that's what I do. I do research, I talk to people, I do lots of radio interviews like I'm doing now, and all this does is grease the wheels and keep the lights on, and you know, I haven't taken a vacation in 2 years. So I'm not a millionaire, I'm not making millions of dollars off this stuff, but I feel very fervent in my belief that what is coming on the earth will be one of great deception. And we are about to enter a time of which these prophecies talk about, the 7-year tribulation period. So once again, go to lamarzulli.net. You can also go to my blog from there, but that's the main website. Everything is linked off that website, lamarzulli.net.
Absolutely. Interesting research. Head on over to the website and check out the Alien Interviews. And we'll talk more with Lynn Marzulli in our member section. Thank you very much, Lynn, for this segment. Stay with us, and we'll be right back after this break.
Thanks, Henry.